Before we begin chapter 28, Perek Chof Ches of Tanya, let's summarize a little bit from Perek Chof Vav until here. The Rebbe set down the very important principle that in the service of God and in striving towards godliness, sadness is a very damaging and very unhealthy feeling or mood. A person has to serve God with joy and through agility, and only then can he overcome his Yetzirah and his ungodly nature. How to avoid sadness? So the Rebbe says in Perek Chavav that if the sadness is from physical things, even crucial and valid physical needs, children, health, and sustenance, these things come from God and are in God's hand, and therefore the person has to remind himself that this is coming from above, and no evil comes from above, and the fact that it feels bad, and it feels wrong, and it feels painful, that is all from the kindness that is a higher level of kindness that comes from the concealed world, and therefore we perceive it as painful or as negative. But in fact, it is a greater kindness, and therefore a greater closeness to God than is the revealed kindness. And so the closeness and the faith that this is a good thing and a positive thing takes away the sadness, even though it may not take away the pain, but it takes away the sadness caused by these events. In fact, the person can rejoice in the closeness that this higher level of kindness brings with it. If the sadness is coming from spiritual matters, concern and regret and worry over past sins, since we're talking here about a Beinoni, he is not guilty of any sins at the moment in his present life, but in his childhood or before he became a Beinoni, he may have sinned, and those sins are bothering him. So the Rebbe says that the sadness or the worry over those sins has its proper time, but if it happens during davening, that it is improper, and he has to dismiss it immediately. Because you have to daven or serve God with joy, and even if it happens during the day, when he's going about his worldly activities and his private affairs, he should be suspicious of the sadness, because concern over sins should be a result of a fear of God or a love of God that has been aroused in the heart. And if during the business day, during his normal activities, he suddenly feels a regret or a worry over sins, it isn't coming from an increased love or an increased fear of God, and therefore we have to conclude that it is coming from the animal soul. And the Yetzirah wants to make him sad, wants to make him uncomfortable with his Yiddishkeit so that he can drag him into unholy activity, into indulging in unholy stuff. And therefore, he should not legitimize this sadness and not think that it is a kosher or holy or positive thing to be worried and concerned over sins. For that, you need special times. And so the response to this sadness is, now is not the time. When is the time? The right time is when he has presence of mind and he has time and he sits himself down at a predetermined time and he thinks about the greatness of God. If in the light of that awareness, he then feels the inappropriateness of his past behavior, that is genuine and true concern for sins. If the sadness is not from sins, but the sadness is over one's present condition, the condition that he finds himself in at the moment, and that is that although he doesn't sin, but he does have unholy thoughts, and the unholy thoughts are also not a sin, because he doesn't indulge the unholy thoughts. They occur involuntarily. And as soon as he is able, and as soon as he realizes the nature of the thought, he dismisses it and rids himself of it effectively, so there is no sin involved. The involuntary unholy thought is not a sin because he can't control it. And this is the predicament or the plight of the Beinoni, that he is forever vulnerable to unholy thoughts that rise of their own accord from the heart where the animal soul rests to the mind and becomes a thought. The purpose of this is because the Beinoni serves God by diminishing Klippa while it is still Klippa, of weakening the unholy where it lives. In the unholy itself, he causes a weakness or a diminishing of the Klippa. And therefore, the sadness that a Beinoni might feel over the occurrence of these unholy thoughts are really an expression of an arrogance in which the Beinoni is unwilling to accept his lot as a Beinoni and begins to imagine himself a tzaddik, or at least close to a tzaddik, and is therefore disheartened and disappointed when he finds that the unholy thoughts are still occurring, and to a tzaddik such thoughts do not occur. So the Rebbe dismisses and delegitimizes the sadness that comes from the unholy thoughts, and shows how it's really, the sadness itself, is unholy. What then should the Beinoni tell himself? He should tell himself that this is his job, and this is the way he serves God, and he should be happy that he is effective and successful in subduing the animal soul, the Yetzirah, by saying no to it, and thereby revealing godliness. Now in Perek Chavches, there's one aspect or one possibility that has not yet been covered, and that is that the unholy thoughts that are causing the Beinoni to be sad don't occur only during weekday activities, during worldly activities, where he can be glad that he has the opportunity to refuse the Yetzirah and to dismiss its thoughts. But here, the Beinoni is having these unholy thoughts while he's trying to daven or trying to learn. In this circumstance, it wouldn't work to say to the Beinoni, be happy that you have the opportunity to say no to your Yetzirah. It's fine to have that opportunity, but when he's trying to daven, he wants to have the opportunity to daven. If he's trying to learn, he wants to learn. So wherever kavana is necessary, the Alter Rebbe gives us another response, a more appropriate response to this particular kind of annoyance and this particular kind of sadness than if the unholy thoughts were occurring only during worldly weekday activities. Perek Chavches. Va'afilu im neiflum lehirurei taivis. V'shar machshav v'zoris. V'shar sa'aveida b'teire b'tfila b'kavono. And even if these unholy desires and other undesirable thoughts occur during the time of service, of Aveda, either in learning or in davening, where he needs kavana. So here it's not enough to say it's good to be able to refuse your Yetzirah. That doesn't help him daven or learn any better. Yet, al yoshes lev aleihem, the Rebbe says he shouldn't pay any attention to them, ele yasiach daite mehen kerega, but rather he should dismiss it from his mind immediately. Not legitimize the sadness concerning the unholy thoughts. Gam al yehi sheita, also should not be a fool, la seig b'halos hamidei shel hamachshav hazorah kenedem. He shouldn't make the attempt to elevate and redeem the emotion behind the unholy thought, as is known. It is known that every unholy thought represents one of the emotions. So that, for example, you can have an emotion, the emotion of love, that is misguided and is expressing itself in an unholy way. So the emotion itself is the emotion of chesed, of love, of ava, only it's fallen into an unholy form. So there is a method by which the emotion itself can be redeemed. For example, by strengthening the love for God, we reclaim the love that had fallen into unholiness. And the same with fear. An unholy fear can be reclaimed by deepening or strengthening the fear for God. But here the Rebbe says that the Beinoni who is having these unholy thoughts should not be a fool and make the attempt at elevating or reclaiming the emotion behind the unholy thought. Why not? Because this whole notion of elevating the energy, the emotion, behind the unholy thought applies only to tzaddikim, is true only of tzaddikim. They can elevate the emotion of an unholy thought because she'ein neiflim lohem achshav ezaris shelohem ki'im mishel achirim, because they don't have unholy thoughts of their own. They have only the unholy thoughts of others, and therefore they can elevate those thoughts. In other words, since a tzaddik is responsible for a certain number of souls of other Jews who are not tzaddikim, we are told in Kabbalah that the letters of the unholy thought, not the desire behind it, but the letters, the words themselves in which that thought is expressed, come to the tzaddik, so to speak, and ask to be elevated. As the tzaddik is davening and elevating his own thoughts, these thoughts, these letters of the unholy person, come to the tzaddik and want to rise and want to be included in the letters and in the words of the tzaddik. So the tzaddik elevates them, because the tzaddik picks up the thought that the people around him have, or the people he's responsible for, but he picks up only the words, not the emotion, because he has no attraction or no desire for this unholy thing. And therefore he's able to elevate it. Aval mishanayfale mishalei, but the person who has unholy thoughts of his own that are coming from the evil that is in his own heart, in the left side of the heart, that's where the unholy thought is coming from, thought, but actually a desire. So how can he raise it up? How can he elevate the unholiness of it while he himself is still bound and still attached to the lower emotion, to the unholy emotion? So how can he elevate his thought to a place higher than himself, since he himself is not elevated because he is producing this unholy thought? How can he elevate the thought to a place of holiness? Only the tzaddik can do it, as explained before. And so the Beinoni should make no attempt at trying to make sense of the unholy thought, or trying to figure out its source, or what it is behind the unholy thought that is legitimate. This is something acceptable only for tzaddikim, not for the Beinoni. So it seems that the Beinoni has no escape, he has nothing, no way, no method by which he can handle this unholiness, and therefore he is saddened, so it would appear as if the sadness was legitimate, necessary. So we learn a little further. Ach af al pikein, but in spite of all of this, al yipe libe bikirbe, he should not be saddened. He should not be disheartened. Lihiyes mize otziv nivze bishaso avedo, to become embarrassed and saddened by this during the davening or during the learning. Shetzorich lihiyes b'simcha rabo, because during the performance of a mitzvah, during learning and davening, you have to be b'simcha rabo. You have to be in a great. You have to feel a great joy. Elo adirabe, but on the contrary, instead of being disheartened, ischazik yeser, he should become stronger. The yesif emet, and he should intensify b'chol keche with all his strength. Kavanas hatfila b'chedva v'simcha yeseda, the intention and the kavana in the davening with a greater enthusiasm and a greater joy. But how? B'sume yalibe, by taking to heart, by considering. That the occurrence of this unholy thought is caused by the klipa, by the unholiness which is in the left side of his heart, the animal soul in the Beinoni is waging war with the godly soul within him, and they're constantly fighting over control of the mind. V'neida derech hanilchamim, and we know that it is the nature of combatants, of people in war, v'chein hanevakim yachad, and also wrestling with each other. These are the two forms of unholiness. One is the war, and the other is the wrestling. The war represents the desire, the etzahara for sins. And as in war, it is deadly. And then there's also the desire for indulgence and permissible things, and this is compared to the wrestling. And what is the nature of the combatants? Kishe'echad mizgaber, that when one of them becomes determined, azai hasheni misamet lizgaber gamkein, then the opponent also marshals all of his strength and also becomes more determined. B'chol mamtzi keiche, with the last ounce of his strength. Lochein, kishenefesh olikis misametzes umizgaberes, and therefore, when the godly soul exerts itself and is determined lehispalil to daven properly, and he is davening properly, azai gam haklipa misgaberes kenegdo, then the unholy, the animal soul, also becomes determined to stand up against the godly soul, levalvala, to distract him, ulahapilam b'machshava zara shala, and to drag the mind into an unholy thought or a foreign thought of its own, of the animal soul's. And therefore, the Beinoni should not feel that his davening is worthless, but rather he should recognize that it is because of the davening itself, with proper kavana, that the animal soul is now so determined to throw in a distracting thought. And so the response is, disregard the interruption, and don't allow the animal soul, don't allow the unholiness to be successful in its attempt to distract you from the davening, but rather put more energy and more concentration into the davening itself. And as the Rebbe will say later, will continue to say, that because there are two souls rather than one, therefore the unholy thought does not invalidate the proper intention or the validity of the intention that the person has during the davening. The godly soul was doing a fine job at the davening. The animal soul wants to interrupt it. There's an explanation in Chassidus on a Mishnah where it says that when a person is davening Shemana Esrei, he shouldn't interrupt. You're not allowed to interrupt in the middle. Even if a king comes and greets you, you're not allowed to respond. But there the halacha says that if there's a snake threatening the person, he should not interrupt his davening. But if there's a scorpion threatening the person, he should interrupt the davening. And Chassidus explains the difference between the snake and the scorpion is the snake's venom is a hot venom. It burns, it consumes. The venom of a scorpion is cold and deadening. The snake represents a warmth in unholy things, an enthusiasm in unholy things. So if a person is davening, he's living his life as a Jew, he's pursuing godliness, his mind is on holiness, and feels that behind it all, there is a certain warmth and a certain enthusiasm and a certain desire for unholy things. And he might think to himself, maybe my Yiddishkeit is not legitimate, my godliness is not sincere, my holiness is not for real, because underneath it all I feel this attraction to unholy things. So maybe I should stop with mitzvahs and with Torah and with davening. Maybe I should interrupt my davening and deal with the snake first. And then when I've dispensed with the snake, then I'll come back to davening. So the Mishnah says no. Don't interrupt the davening, because the warmth that you feel for unholy things will become included, will be drawn into the davening, and will become part of the warmth for Yiddishkeit. Because warmth is basically alive, and holiness is essentially alive, so that the warmth and the life of the unholy will eventually become part of your enthusiasm for mitzvahs. But if threatened by a scorpion, which means that the person is davening and pursuing his Yiddishkeit and suddenly feels a coldness and an indifference to everything holy, here, if the person thinks, I'm going to continue davening and eventually I will get warm, I will be warm to Yiddishkeit, the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, you have to interrupt and deal with this coldness. You have to shake off this sadness and this laziness, and you have to apply yourself to Yiddishkeit properly. Because coldness can't be elevated and can't be drawn into mitzvahs. Coldness is death, is deadness, and that has to be removed completely. And so the Rebbe says here in Tanya that when a person feels a distracting thought, he shouldn't stop and deal with it, but rather intensify, put more energy and more warmth into the davening, and eventually he will draw all the warmth, including the warmth behind the unholy thought, into the davening. In the Hayyim Yaim, the Rebbe says that Ahava, love, is the Ruach HaChayim, is the breath of life in the Aveda of a Chassid. It is also the thread that connects Chassidim to each other, and the thread that connects Rebbe with Chassidim, and Chassidim with the Rebbe. And this works in two ways, both as an Eil Yashar, which means as an initial light, as an initial affection, and also as a responding affection, a reciprocal affection. It knows no barriers and transcends the limits of time and space.